She was the kind of friend and faith leader that all of us would have been pleased and would have loved to have had. Talking about Samantha Wall, who was murdered so brutally in her home. And we're learning more about her through the eyes of her friends and loved ones during this murder trial. At the same time, the defense attorney's doing their best to throw some rhetorical sand in the gears and create reasonable doubt in the minds of those who will ultimately judge defendant Michael Jackson Bolanos. To dive into this deeper as we end the first week of testimony is Todd Flood, principal at Flood Law. Todd, good to have you here and see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
You know, let's start with some of the medical testimony earlier this week. We have the defense attorney trying to say that this was a crime of passion, trying to throw some shade on the boyfriend here, or perhaps others who knew her better than the defendant. But the wounds were all to the back. Doesn't that kind of mitigate that? Aren't crimes of passion, you're directing your rage at the person's visage? So will anybody raise that, and would you be raising that as a prosecutor?
Well, as a defense attorney, I would raise it. As a prosecutor, no, because it doesn't bode well for my case for a crime of passion. To the back, yes, perhaps. It's 8 stab wounds above the shoulders, 8 stab wounds above the shoulders, plus there seemed to be some contusions that took place in the face. So there was rage, no question about it. And if this was just a surprise, if the prosecution's theory, which when you listen to the opening statement, it was a brilliant opening statement, kind of laid out the framework of the case, the landscape. If you listen to that, this was a crime of opportunity. He happened to be in the neighborhood. He was breaking into cars. He saw this opportunity and came upon this open house and, you know, did the incident, the murder, this heinous murder. So to me, the 8 stab wounds does look like, you know, a criminologist would say a crime of passion.
What about the forensic evidence? So you have the blood on his jacket, on his backpack, but then you have some fingerprints and a palm print that's not his.
Right.
You know, so how much does this play, and does that cause some confusion as well?
So, you know, it gets to contamination of the scene. Was there any contamination of the scene? The fact of the matter that this happened in October 21, 2023. 6 months go by, and they find blood on his jacket, which matched the jacket for which he was wearing that night doing the break into vehicles, and on a backpack in his back seat in his car. To me, that matched. I mean, that's definitely, you know, puts him there. He has to say, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you get away from that, right?
Right.
So his defense, there's only 2 defenses in criminal law. 1, it's not me, right? You got the wrong guy. Or
right.
2, yes, I did it, but I have an excuse. It can't be that second one. It has to be, I didn't do this crime, but he has to put himself there. So his theory is going to have to be, she was dead, I got there, I was going into her house to break in or whatever the case may be. That has to be his theory. Unfortunately, it doesn't bode well for him. The videotape and the audio tape of him talking to his girlfriend on the phone while he's in jail definitely puts him in a bad, you know, place of
because
culpability.
Because she said she washed the jacket.
Yeah,
right?
Washed the jacket. He hangs up on her and then calls her back and says, don't you blank say that, you know, I don't want any of that over this phone, right? Obviously, because it's taped. He gives 4 different stories. He can't tell the same story, right?
Right.
So, you know, what do we know about the truth? It rings true. It stays true. What do we know about a lie? It always changes, right? So here he has so many conflicting statements. He has an audio tape. He has the forensics, his phone, you know, so there's so much. But his defense is going to have to be, hey, listen, I was just there and I came upon this scene.
Todd, his defense is trying to sow seeds of doubt. And there's something with Samantha Wool's, maybe not boyfriend, but someone she was romantically linked with, confessing.
Yes. So the person that confessed, he was out in Grand Rapids. He obviously has some depression. He has some
anxiety.
Psychological, anxiety issues that are coming his way. I think it's Hartzman Mr. Hartzman basically makes a statement to police that I'm responsible for her death, or I did the death. They go in, and he didn't have his phone on him, so they couldn't, at the time that night, they couldn't do any forensic dump for it. But everything matched that he was not the person. He was, you know, so they had enough physical evidence and eyewitness testimony evidence that he's not the guy that did the crime.
They also supposedly have some video of him putting him at the scene, breaking into these cars through some security camera footage.
Right.
But don't they also have some video of him over by Motor City Casino, mm-hmm. several blocks away, that could be problematic in terms of, you know, time stamping this?
Yeah. So they have this ADT system. They have the phone system. They have his phone system, and they have the video. The specific time of the death is going to be a big question. Could he be, you're raising the defense, he can't be at two places at once.
Right.
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 The second part of that is the space and window for when he could have committed it to be over at the Motor City and at the time of the death. I think ultimately you're going to be able to, they're going to be able to show that there was plenty of opportunity for him to be there, and they have him leaving the scene of the crime, that area, not the apartment itself, but that area.
You know, it took some time, Todd, but, you know, basically Chief James White and the police department, good old-fashioned, just...
Gotta love them. This was, you know, this is what got me into the business in the first place. This was great gumshoe, great investigated work. This was a homicide task force. You had the FBI, you had Detroit homicide, some great people working on this case. I know some of them. And Michigan State Police, they just did such a great job. 6 months. They didn't have any leads in the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. And they ultimately get to this, and it was just hard work.
Well, it is a painful process to go through to hear about this wonderful person.
Oh, yeah.
And how time. And the last minutes of her life were a nightmare. But we would certainly welcome justice in this case. And thanks for bringing this nuances to us, Todd, and putting that into context. We appreciate it.
Love being with you guys.
All right. Todd Flood, have a great weekend, and happy Father's Day, by the way.
Yes.
All right. Absolutely. And to you guys as well.
Thank you.
My amigos, even though I came to see Jamie, she's not here.
Yeah,
I didn't want to see you
here,
guys. I came to see. Yeah, all right.
She's here.
Yeah, she's here.
Yeah, electronically.
Yeah, electronically.
Yes. Right. When we come back, it is an interesting defeat for the Secretary of State and how the 2020 election was run and future elections will be run. We'll get into that next on JR Morning.